Europeans are urging restraint, but U.S. patience is running out. Things are threatening to come to a head. This is not a story about Iraq, but about a transatlantic standoff over genetically modified crops. The U.S. has waited 4.5 years for Europe to lift a moratorium on approving new varieties, and Washington is on the verge of taking its case to the World Trade Organization. NPR's Kathleen Schock reports.
U.S. officials are frustrated. So are American farmers, who say Europe's ban on new GM crops costs them millions of dollars per year. Lead U.S. agriculture negotiator Alan Johnson says Europe is violating international trading rules, which require that regulations be based on science.
That's pretty clear cut. These are safe products. They're not being allowed to be approved, and that's a violation of the WTO obligations. And in fact, there's a number of people in Europe that feel the same way, that we have a strong case.
But European officials say the U.S. should be patient. They point to surveys showing that 70% of Europeans don't want GM food, and more than half believe it's dangerous. They blame a series of health scares, including fears that beef infected with mad cow disease could eventually kill tens of thousands of people. Now they say many Europeans deeply distrust scientists and politicians and anyone who tells them GM food is safe. Harvey Gaimard is France's Minister of Agriculture.
I represent a constituency that lives in the mountains. These people tell me they're not militant environmentalists at all, and they say they are afraid genetically modified products are going to turn their lungs into gills.
European officials say, despite all this, they are making progress toward lifting the ban. Tony von der Hagen represents the European Commission in Washington and says it could happen this spring, once European nations agree on rules that will allow genetically modified products to be labeled and traced. He says going to the WTO would just keep the ban in place longer.
A panel decision of the WTO might take 18 months up to 2 years, and the member states, instead of lifting the moratorium, might think it would be a good idea to wait until this decision of the panel is coming out.
And he says launching a WTO case could create enormous public backlash.
This could in turn foster some, should I say, even more anti-Americanism.
But U.S. officials may ignore these warnings. They fear that European qualms about GM crops are spreading far beyond Europe. Alan Johnson points to Zambia, which is in the midst of a famine, but doesn't want genetically modified corn from the U.S.
When you think of that kind of drastic environment, and yet they're turning down food that you and I eat every day, it really sobers you up. There's literally, you know, over 5 billion people outside of Europe that are having a misimpression about this technology and these products, that we need to make sure that misperception doesn't continue.
U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zoellick agrees and has gone so far as to call the European policies Luddite and immoral, words that irritate the European Commission's Tony von der Hagen.
I must say all these accusations are downright irresponsible. We certainly never suggested that GM food should not be allowed in African countries, nor that GM food is unsafe.
But Europe does wield a lot of influence. It's far and away the biggest importer of the developing world's agricultural products. Tim Josling of Stanford University says that's why even African countries in dire need are reluctant to take genetically modified corn.
They fear that even if the corn is sold for food, some of it may be planted, and if it's planted, then the African countries themselves will not be classified as GM-free in terms of entry of products into the European market.
Other developing countries share this worry, according to Robert Parlberg, a professor at Wellesley College.
In Asia, including East Asia, Southeast Asia, and South Asia, the only government to have given approval to the commercial planting of any GM food or feed crop is the Philippines. In all of sub-Saharan Africa, only one government, the government of South Africa, has approved the planting of any GM crops. And in all of North Africa and the Middle East, not a single government has approved the planting of a single GM crop.
Parlberg worries that developing countries that forego this technology will miss an opportunity to tackle poverty and chronic malnutrition. For example, he says, insects sometimes eat nearly half of Kenya's corn crop.
That could be controlled if these farmers were permitted to plant BT corn, the same GM corn that U.S. farmers have been growing successfully for the last 7 years. Virus-resistant sweet potato, insect-resistant cowpeas, disease-resistant bananas, these are all technologies that small subsistence farmers in Africa could make very good use of almost immediately.
Parlberg says even if Europe lifts its ban on genetically modified products and imposes new labeling requirements, many countries won't be able to meet them.
In order to get exports into Europe, it will be necessary for countries planting GM crops to segregate GM varieties from non-GM varieties all the way from the farm to the export terminal.
And have the documents to prove it. That will be tough and costly for the U.S., let alone for poorer countries. Tim Josling of Stanford University says that could prompt them to remain GM-free, and this worries the U.S.
The worst-case scenario is a sort of split in the world market between a sort of GM-free trade system and a GM-tolerant trade system. And the fear is that the countries that are using GMs, basically the United States, Canada, and Argentina, their market will be squeezed as more and more countries adopt European-style regulations.
Josling says even if Europe loses this case at the WTO, it may continue to keep new genetically modified products out. But U.S. trade officials believe a victory could help turn the tide globally. Europe would have to pay a penalty for violating WTO trading rules, the kind of expense many countries can ill afford. And that could deter some from following in Europe's footsteps. Kathleen Chalk, NPR News, Washington.